So I want to share a short little thing that is a much bigger topic, but I didn't want to get too deep into it here and allow you guys to have some time for soaking. But the whole idea is about true Christianity and the whole reality that everything that is of God and is good comes from up above. And even our Christianity comes from up above. And the downward flow, the person that really impacted us when we first heard him speak was at the Father Heart Ministries out in New Zealand. And he talked about everything is a downward flow, and the whole idea that everything good and perfect, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. And that whole theme really puts a whole different perspective on what true Christianity is. And this person I'm talking about is Stephen Hill. It's not the Stephen Hill you might think of as the evangelist here, but he wrote a book about it, and it's called Primal Hope. And he contrast true Christianity with religion, and that's what I just want to open your eyes maybe a little bit to what the church has done. And I see it as a reason why a lot of people are being turned off by the church and going a different direction, because the church has become so religious that it's lost its whole concept and idea and understanding of what Christianity really is. And the reality of that has been lost because we've lost the understanding about the Father's love and what it means to walk in sonship, because really true Christianity is walking in sonship. It's receiving everything from the Father. It's being a son and a daughter to our Heavenly Father and allowing that Christianity from the Father to and then weep impact other people. And I see that even the whole word Christian and Christianity has been so misused and misunderstood. And a lot of it has come from the church. The confusion goes all the way back to the first couple of centuries. It's just reading a book by another guy by the name of Trevor Galpin, who talks about he looked for the Father in all of the story of the church, but it was also to find Father in the scriptures. The whole understanding has really brought a lot of confusion to us and started the whole idea of the word Christ. Really, the first time that the word Christian was used, and it was recorded in the scriptures in Acts 11:26, that they were first called Christians in Antioch. And it was a mocking, put-down type of a term that they began using to mock the Jews who became believers in Yeshua and were now trying to be Christian. To them meant is to be Christ-like or be a literal Christ. It's kind of an interpretation of that word Christian, of the Greek origins of that, we say use Christian. And yet, in reality, that's really what Christianity is all about, is our desire and the changes that we make in our lives to become more like Christ. And we become more sons, because Christ was the perfect example of the perfect son. And so to be Christ-like is to be walking in sonship. I mean, I think Jesus is a perfect example of someone who walked in sonship. And everything he said and everything he did because he heard the Father telling him or he saw the Father doing it. And that's really about as good of an example of what a son is all about as you can get. And you put it, everything that came to him was from the Father. He received love from the Father, and that love was what he had to give away, and that everything came down from heaven, came down from God through him and out to other people. And that flow is what the Father really wants all of us to be in. That's what true Christianity is all about, is this downward flow that He pours it into us so that we pour it into other people. In Stephen Hill's book, The Primal Love, Finding Confidence Beyond Religion, he gives a definition, a couple things to help define Christianity. Christianity that is not flowing from experiential love of God is not real Christianity. And Paul, writing in the book of Galatians, said that not only did he refer to the Galatians as foolish, but they were foolish because they were going after another gospel. And it wasn't the gospel of Christ, it wasn't the gospel of true Christianity that they were following. They were trying to put the law back into the walk of Christianity. They were mixing law back in, and it became a very legalistic approach to Christianity. And it's one of those early churches that started doing that was the church in Galatia. And really, I think one of the key couple words that he uses there is the experiential experiencing of God loving us. It goes beyond knowing that God is love or God loves us, but it's the experiencing of it, the continual experiencing. James Jordan's definition for sonship is the state of being and experiencing the Father continuously loving us. If you really sit down and think about that, that's a powerful definition for sonship. And it's really a definition for true Christianity, is that continuous experiencing of the Father loving us. He's loving us 24 hours every day. And Sue and I have begun more when we go to sleep at night, because He's loving us right through the night too. And just reinforcing and saying that, Father, just thank You for loving us all night long. And you get up in the morning, thank You, Father, for loving us all day long. There isn't a moment of our time when the Father isn't pouring His love out on us. Stephen Hill also in his book says that the foundation of Christianity is the comfort of a personal God. Father has to become personal to us. That's why we've begun using the word Father, because it's a lot more personal word than God is. And allows you to develop the more intimacy, the more father-son relationship that the Father wants to have with us. And we all have this need for being comforted. And we have the need for being comforted like a mother comforts its child. And it's that comforting love of the Father. I believe the Father put that desire in our hearts so that we would seek Him, that we would open our hearts to Him, because we want to be comforted by Him. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4 says that He's the God of all comfort. Mm-hmm. And Paul goes on in verse 4 to say that we can comfort others as we are receiving and experiencing the comforting love of the Father ourselves. It allows us to be able to be a comfort to other people. So I put a little bit of a diagram up here to give it a little more of a visual. But what I'm wanting to show you is that true Christianity is a downward movement. So everything that's good is coming down from us, from above, and all of our Christianity, ultimate Christianity, is the Father and His love for us. So we can experience grace and love and everything good. So all this is coming down from God, and He is Father to us. And this is the flow that we want to experience in our lives. The other thing that Father put in our hearts was to have a desire to be like Him. You think about it, if Father created us in His own image, and He wants us to be just like Him. He wants us to be full of love, and the prayer in Ephesians 3 by Paul, in verse 19 says that we would know the love of Christ that passes all understanding and be filled with the fullness of God. If you were filled with the fullness of God, you'd be like God. And that's what the desire is of the Father, is to fill us with His fullness. The temptation that Adam and Eve had in the garden was a very real one. They were tempted by Satan with the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil by him lying to them and saying that they would be like God if they ate of this fruit. And since they had this desire placed in their heart by God, I think Adam, maybe in his logical left brain oxy thinking, thought, well, this is an easy way to become like God. We just take a bite out of this apple and we've accomplished that innate desire we have in our heart to be like Him. The problem is that they tried to do it themselves, and the effort was upward, trying to become like God, trying to focus on the Father, and that is really the root of religion. What you have in religion is man or humanity trying to, in his own effort, to become like God. Really, what Paul was talking about, the pursuit here, is we don't even really know what God is like. It's an unknown God that we're going after. When Paul was in Athens, they have a lot of temples and stuff there, and they have a temple to the unknown God. And he really keyed in on that and said, what your unknown God really is God, but you don't even know who it is. So religion is born out of this desire to be like God and to be pleasing to God and wanting to do things that would be pleasing to Him. But the part of what they get tripped up in is that they think that we can be pleasing to God by following the law. And the Old Testament law, Paul said that the only thing that ever accomplishes is death. So you've never really accomplished what you're trying to get to, and you end up really creating a situation that's a dead end, with death as the ultimate result of that. So it's this upward effort. And when you start thinking about every religion out there, and even, unfortunately, a lot of what we call Christianity, that's where all the confusion comes in, is this effort to try and be like God, to try and please God, to try and do something that we hope God will like us if we do this. And we get into all this effort of works and all the do's and the don'ts and evaluating everything good and evil. We don't want to do anything evil because we don't get on the bad side of God. And so all of our focus and effort is trying to live a moral life, trying to please the Father, thinking that if we pray enough, if we read our Bible enough, if we evangelize, if we lay on the floor and cry out to God and things like that, that we'll eventually be pleasing to God and maybe we'll have some favor with Him. And it's a performance-oriented Christianity. It's all about my performance. It's all about God having this favor line. And if I do good, I get good. And if I do bad, I get bad. If I'm on the wrong side of the favor line, I'm going to get the curse. But I want to try to be on the blessing side. So religion is all focused on how do you keep yourself morally clean and righteous, and the self-righteousness and the self-generated efforts that we have to try and be like God. We think that if we do all the Ten Commandments, He'll be happy and we'll also become like God. And even the whole thing related to getting caught up in this need for continually asking forgiveness, continually confessing all of our sins, continually falling from grace into unrighteousness and confession and repentance and back into righteousness again and back in. And the whole effort to try and go that way. One of the first people that we started listening to talked about keeping a short list of sins in your life. You know, make sure as soon as you know you've sinned, you've got to confess that sin. You've got to get it out of your life because that sin is blocking you from being like God. It's blocking you from being pleasing to the Father. It's blocking you from getting your prayers answered. It's blocking you from prospering or being successful because you've got this sin in your life. And it's all this guilt and shame and condemnation. That's what's really blocking you. Is a consciousness of sin creates all this guilt and shame and self-hatred and self-condemnation and everything. And it doesn't allow you to have an intimate relationship with the Father and receive His love. So we have all this effort, and we get burnt out. We talk about people getting burnt out. We taught we were being pleasing to the Father doing children's ministry. And we got to the place where we totally were exhausted. We just had to walk away from it because it was just consuming us. And some people get frustrated. A lot of people are leaving the church now because they don't want somebody telling them all the things they should and shouldn't do. And the whole idea, you don't should on me, is a pretty good way to look at it. It's law. It's focused on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's right and wrong focus. And it's all this effort to try and please God. When you really boil it down to, is we're trying to do things that hopefully God will like us for. Instead of the realization that we need to be walking in, that He's continuously loving us. There's nothing we'll ever do that will cause Him to stop loving us, and nothing we'll ever do to come to love us anymore than He does right now. And the freedom of the cross, the whole idea that you have to continually confess your sins, continually get cleansed of all the unrighteousness, confess your sins, and then He cleanses you of all unrighteousness. Well, when you take a close reading of 1 John, you realize that he was not talking to Christians at that point. He was talking to the Gnostics who felt that you had to do things to win God's favor. And this salvation through grace and through the cross and through Jesus Christ is what you need to do. You confess your sins, you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, and you are cleansed of all unrighteousness. And from that point on, you walk in the righteousness of Christ. And the cross takes care of all the sins that you're committing today and you've committed yesterday and the ones that you may know and the ones you may not know that you've done. The cross covers them all. So you don't have to live in this constant fear of God being unhappy with you or fear of making a mistake or fear that the reason I'm having all this sickness on my body, the reason I'm not having money come to me, the reason I'm not having my prayers answered because I've got all this sin in my life, I've all this unrighteousness, God's not happy with me, I'm out of favor with God. All those things are all this religion, they're all just trying to reach up to God, trying to get to God through our own self-effort and self-work. And walking in Christianity is really simple and it's easy. You just be. That's what we've attempted to keep coming back to is you be His son and daughter and allow Him to pour His love out on you and start seeing yourself the same way the Father sees you through the finished work of the cross. He doesn't see anything wrong with you. I remember Benny Hinn saying one time, long time ago, and I believed it for a while because it made sense why I was experiencing what I was experiencing then, is that when you sin, it's like you get out of line and you have to go to the back of the line. It's not like you lose your salvation or anything, but you lose your place in line. And I'm thinking, that's just all part of religion. That's just all part of this religious thinking that even people like Benny Hinn would fall for that line of thinking just because of it sounds right. It logically tickles our brain. So when you put together what I just said about religion, religion has no understanding or revelation of the Father, no understanding of walking in sonship, no understanding of the Father's love, this unconditional, unrestrained love that He's continually pouring out on us. Religion has to strive and struggle, and so the revelation of the Father is missing. And it's an orphan way of thinking, really. When you put it all together, it's every time we're trying to do something in our own effort, in our own self, it's just the way the orphans think. And so we brought this orphan Christianity into the church, and it was called religion. So authentic Christianity, on the left side there, true Christianity, is coming from the Father. And it's the life that the Father lives all the time. That's what heaven is all about, and that's what he's all about. He lives the true Christianity himself. And it's not about making the right choices and staying on the favor line. And it's not a lifestyle of trying to live in our own strength, our own mind, our own reasoning, and trying to figure things out in our own will. A lot of people talk about breaking addictions and habits. You got to strengthen your will. You got to strengthen your ability to say no and all those things. If you allow the Father to take over and you receive his love, the other stuff takes care of itself. It's all about the Father pursuing us. So Jesus' death on the cross opened the way for us to step back into this relationship that the Father always wanted to have, where we have nothing but sons and daughters. And he's the Father to us, and he can pour out this love and make the perfect connection. One of the things that we all want to have is connections with the Father and connections with other people. And the continuous loving of the Father and walking in that sonship and walking in the freedom of the cross and what Jesus accomplished in the death and resurrection allows us to make that solid, intimate, personal connection to the Father that creates a healthy relationship that produces fruit in our lives, produces the fruit of the Spirit, produces the gifts of the Spirit flowing through us, and we start flowing in revelation ourselves. As soon as I have walked in more love, we've experienced what James Jordan shared with us when we were at the gathering, that he noticed when he started receiving and getting more love, he started also getting more revelation from the Father. There was more of the Father pouring into our hearts, and we're becoming more like Christ. We're becoming more like God is himself. So when we break up here for the soaking, just encourage you to see yourself positioned at the end of this downward flow. This is where we can see ourselves when you get in your soaking position and you're praising the Lord and have a big smile on your face.
You're in the room. It's so small you can't see across
the room. Oh, yeah, it's a little bit
smaller. Oh, you're laying down. Okay.
I got your arm raised. You're in the assuming the soaking position.
The receiving mode.
Receiving mode, yeah. And you're at the bottom of the downward flow where the Father can pour this love into you and the revelation comes and everything flows in the right direction.